Hi, everyone. Dr. Meg Meeker here. Are you on the go without much time to log into all of your social media pages? Twitter is a great way for staying informed on the things that matter to you with just a quick look at your phone. Follow Dr. James Dobson, FT, and receive great tips, resources, and information that is important to you in short and simple tweets. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson, capital F, capital T.
Today on Family Talk.
The problem is, people don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be shamed in public. So they're afraid to take this bold stance that they're willing to take privately in a voting booth. We have to help them become more articulate and to be brave and take that stand on marriage. Because if not, then the younger generation of children who's already confused about this issue, you know, with the fact that 60% of babies that are born in this country are born either to a broken family or a family that would soon suffer divorce or out of wedlock, 60%, they don't even understand what a real family is supposed to be. But we have to be brave as adults who in our hearts get that, to becoming more articulate about it and voicing that boldly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're going to listen to a classic program featuring our former co-host, Luann Crane. So here now is Ryan Dobson opening up the program on this classic edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, and Dad and Luann, we have another day of stimulating conversation with our good friend, Rebecca Hagelin.
And Ryan, last time, she really brought some amazing insights into the culture. Really important information for parents like you and me as we try to raise godly children, Doctor, in this society that just grows darker day by day.
And, you know, Luann, there are very few people more qualified to speak on this topic than Rebecca Hagelin. And she was our guest yesterday, and then she's going to be with us again today. Rebecca is the author of the book 30 Ways in 30 Days to Save Your Family. And you can see what her passion is just from the title of her book. And Ryan, you're correct in saying that she's a great friend to us. And she's also a Family Talk board member. And I'm honored to have her be part of our team. Rebecca, last time we had a great discussion about the culture. And you write columns and you do interviews and TV. And you're just a warrior for righteousness. That's why I appreciate you so much. You're out there defending the things that we believe in. And frankly, there are just not very many folks like you who have the guts to stand up and to tell the unvarnished truth about things that are politically incorrect, because it brings a torrent of criticism and sometimes anger, and it's not pleasant to be called offensive names. I know I've been there, so you have been one of them that has not flinched at all. And today, because the subject again is the culture, I want to start by reading from the first chapter of Romans, which talks about the debauchery and the wickedness of the Roman culture when Paul, the Apostle Paul, was there, and eventually he was executed for telling the truth, as I was just saying. But let me read that chapter, and then, Rebecca, I would like you to comment on what Paul had to say.
Okay, great.
This is very, very familiar. You will have read it hundreds of times. But he wrote, "For although they knew God," and he's referring to the Romans, "they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart and sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. And then this last paragraph. Furthermore, they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. So we're talking about some young people here too. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. You know, that was 2,000 years ago almost. And Paul is observing. He was a culture watcher like you are. And he was observing the Roman culture and how wicked it had become and what happened to them as a result of it. Now, here's the question. As you look around at the American culture, do you see some of these same characteristics that are going on now?
You know, if you just change the style of those words a little bit and use modern English, it could be a commentary, sadly, on the United States of America today. Because just about everything you said, from the rise of the homosexual movement to the sense of greed and selfishness and entitlement and malice, it's going on in our culture today.
And the abuse of children. That takes my breath away.
Yes,
what happened
it does.
At Penn State? And then the next night, there are these riots going on to defend the coaches who had a role to play in that. In other words, the football and the money that it raises, and by the way, I'm a great football fan, but it trumped the
children,
the welfare of children.
Right. And really, though, we have to step back and say, how did we get to this point in our particular culture? Well, when you can kill an innocent baby just because you can't see it and it's 1 inch removed from your eyesight inside a mother and it has no value, it's eventually going to translate into, well, what real value do they have once they're born? I mean, psychologically and in the backs of people's minds.
Do you remember when the abortion movement first started? The feminists said every child would be a wanted child.
Oh, right.
Do you remember that?
I remember that, of course. I mean, that was their mantra. They're so good at clever language. I mean, of course they're good at clever language. We see that all the time. Pro-choice, right? Who could be against choice? Every child, a wanted child. A no-fault divorce. All of those things. The left is very clever at packaging things so they sound sweet and innocent. What sounds better than the term Planned Parenthood? They always use sugar-coated terms to hide what the true agenda is underneath that. I mean, we see that right now in the battle to destroy traditional marriage, time-honored marriage.
All right, talk about that. What is the state of the American family today?
Well, the state of the American family today is one in which people don't even understand what the definition of family is supposed to be.
And it's about to change.
That's right. I mean, we are in utter confusion as Americans about what the term family means, about what the term marriage means.
The problem is people don't want to be ridiculed. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be shamed in public. So they're afraid to take this bold stance that they're willing to take privately in a voting booth. Mm-hmm. We have to help them become more articulate and to be brave and take that stand on marriage. Because if not, then the younger generation of children who's already confused about this issue, you know, with the fact that 60% of babies that are born in this country are born either to a broken family or a family that would soon suffer divorce or out of wedlock, 60%, they don't even understand what a real family is supposed to be. But we have to be brave as adults who in our hearts get that, to becoming more articulate about it and voicing that boldly.
Rebecca, I'm afraid that the traditional commitment to marriage and to life is changing. I'm, trying in my own way to be a culture watcher too. And I was very disturbed not long ago that one of the most conservative states in this nation, Mississippi, when the people went into the voting booth and pulled a lever, could have ended abortion in that state and sent it to the Supreme Court, and they didn't do it.
That's right.
You know, there are a lot of Christians in Mississippi who know better than that. It makes me worry and wonder if the things that we have counted on being consistent with Scripture and biblical truth are eroding. I may be wrong about that,
but it looks that way. You're right, because all you have to do is look at the demographics. The people who grew up in America in the 30s, 40s, 50s with Bible teaching, with prayer, with God being acknowledged, with preborn children being protected, with marriage being sacred in all of our institutions are dying off. And what's being left are people who are graduating into adulthood who have been raised on a steady diet of something very different than that.
This may be self-serving, but I worry about what will happen when my generation is gone, and it's passing pretty quickly.
I think about that almost every day. And that's why I feel like my call and heart is to encourage the fathers and the mothers and the young women and men of today with those timeless values, and remind them, look, the two greatest commandments Christ gave us, love God with all your heart, love other people, are still true. And everything we've been talking about today relates to destroying those two principles. Because when you truly love other people, you are committed to them. You want to protect them if they're innocent. You want to earn your own way in life and not take somebody else's living wage that they have made. We don't love people enough to tell them the truth because we're afraid of what's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And this is where I fall on my knees before God almost on a daily basis. Lord, where could I have been more bold? Where could I have been less selfish and trying to protect my own little safety net here, and been more bold in sharing your truth with my neighbor who's dying or hurting, with that young kid who thinks he should experiment with homosexuality. When I don't tell the truth, I'm being selfish. I'm caring more about what other people think about me and my own self-preservation than I am about that person that's about to enter a great harmful lifestyle.
When you say those kind of things publicly, what happens to you?
Well, when you say them publicly, you become a target, as you know, probably better than anybody. You might as well paint a target on your back or on your face, because the left, and let's call them the radical left, are out to silence us. Because if they can silence us, then they have full control over what's taught and what's said.
You know what I would like to hear a minister say from the pulpit sometime? When the issue of homosexuality comes up and people say, how dare you deny those folks the right to be like everybody else and do what everyone else does? I wish somebody would say, what about the single woman or single man? Do they also have the right to do this? That absolutely destroys morality.
Right.
That means everybody has the right to do things that the scriptures say is wrong.
Right.
It really doesn't make any difference whether it's homosexual or heterosexual. It's the same issue.
It's the same issue. And chaos develops once we start compromising on basic truths. It is what the scripture teaches us. It was what you started in Romans chapter 1. Go back and read Romans chapter 1 for yourself. I encourage every listener to do that. And read the whole book of Romans and see what the answer is, too.
Yeah.
Because, again, the good news is there are answers for this.
Romans 1:24 is one of the most frightening verses in the Bible when it says, therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. There it is again. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. Now, I don't know how you can read that and not understand what Paul was saying.
That's right. When you exchange the truth of God for a lie, then chaos results and anything is possible. We as a society are so lost that many people don't even know which way is up and down. And again, though, there's good news.
Well, it really causes us to choose our side. I think of that, Doctor. We had Joe White here recently who actually talked about the large number of Christian students who are emboldened with a spirit of the Lord that really wants to go forth and make a stand for Christ. I think there's just no room for lukewarm anymore.
Yeah, but that's the hope of the future.
Absolutely.
There still are members of this younger generation who have been propagandized and taught wrong things in school and have witnessed horrible things on television and in the movies, and they still stand firm.
Yes.
Thank God for them.
Amen.
Okay, Rebecca, put a bottom line on this discussion. How would you assess the American culture? Is there hope? Can parents make a difference? Can they teach their children what's right despite the influences that are out there? I know what you think. Say it.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. And it's what I always come back to. The message of Christianity is about forgiveness and redemption and restoration. And as long as there are human beings on earth, there will always be an opportunity for redemption and restoration. It just takes us following God's word and practicing it and being bold. The early Christians, the disciples, you know, when we feel like we have targets on our back, think about how they felt. Martyred, okay, for their stand for Christianity. We may get to a point in this world where we're martyred, actually killed, but more than likely, we're just going to be called bad names and targeted once in a while. That's not so bad.
So when you live in a culture that has forgotten biblical principles and are in some ways like Rome in the first century, you had better give priority to the spiritual welfare of your children. You better get them into a good Bible-believing church where the pastor preaches the whole truth. You had better make sure that they get there and that you get there. You don't just pack them up and send them. It becomes part of the culture of your family. You pray together. You discuss how the Lord works. You teach them what's right. And if you don't do that, they'll get carried along by this Roman-like culture.
That's right. I mean, in Him we live and move and have our being. That's how Christianity is. We're supposed to live in Christ and move in Him and have our being and teach our children to do that. It's not two separate worlds. They have to be interlaced.
Rebecca, you know, you and I have both mentioned having raised our children. They're a little bit older now. Mm-hmm. Doctor, we've said some pretty horrific things to parents mm-hmm. today who are maybe raising younger children, and they're scared about that. And I just want to bring this psalm. I have prayed this over my children. I'm going to get choked up. Mm-hmm. I've prayed this over my children for years. And it's in Psalm 141. And pray this over your kids. Put their name in it in verse 4. Do not let their heart be drawn to what is evil, so that they would take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let them eat of their delicacies. And further down in verse 9, pray this for your kids. Keep them safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for them. Rebecca, that's our bottom line. We can't control our kids when they walk out the door in the morning. But I can lay them at the Lord's feet and say, protect them from those traps and those snares that are out there, and we will be victorious.
That's a beautiful scripture. Give us the source again.
Psalm 141, verses 4 and 9. And pray that. Put your kid's name in there and pray that for them today.
It's a beautiful prayer. There's similar prayers in Ephesians as well. Mm-hmm. And talking about how Paul wishes that your roots would grow down deep into Christ's love, that you might know the fullness of his love, the height and depth and width of his love. And I just love that psalm too. And these aren't just nice words to end a show on. These are words of truth.
Yeah. And hope. Yeah. You know, when we look around and get discouraged, that's my hope right there.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, mm-hmm. do you think about all this with regard to those children?
All the time.
As mine are grown, and for the most part, these two ladies have grown kids. Mm-hmm. Yours are still young. You feel the pressure and the responsibility of that?
I do. And it's why we've made the decisions we have. We're homeschooling Lincoln. We've turned our TV off. And some people think, oh, that's weird. You know, I hear this. Well, you're sheltering your kids. Yeah, I'm sheltering my kids. Why is that so bad? Yeah. Don't we do it in every other way? I shelter them from weather. I give them the right food. I'm trying to get the best thing possible. We make that sacrifice, and we're going to continue to make that sacifice.
Mm-hmm. Thank God you are.
That's right. I learned from the best.
And that's got to make a grandpa feel good.
Rebecca, thanks so much for being with us. I said last time that there are fewer and fewer people who are out there willing to put it on the line to go on national television and say things that get you criticized and characterized as crazy. Hmm. I've had an awful lot of that in the last 20 years. And I know something of what that means. And I appreciate you and your husband being two among many who are out there trying to serve the mm-hmm. Lord.
Amen. Well, thanks for your example all these years. Because if Dr. Dobson can do it, I can do it too.
Are you writing?
I'm writing. I have a weekly column that's in the Washington Times every Monday. And then it's on Town Hall and Patriot Post and a lot of other places and newspapers around the country later in the week. It's called How to Save Your Family, the name of the column. And when the Washington Times asked me if I would write the column, I said, I will, but it's got to be called How to Save Your Family, and I have to be able to boldly proclaim my faith. And they said, okay.
They let you do it.
And they have not changed one word of any column I've ever written. And then I also, I make it available in a free weekly e-newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Those are wonderful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I take the column and I send it out to anybody who wants to get it for free, because one of my callings is to continuously encourage parents and not just show them the culture battles, but give them tips on how to fight back. Mm. Because every week there's something else. I don't want to write a book that they read and they go, that's great, and they put it on the shelf and then they forget about it, but to stand with them on a regular basis. So people can sign up to receive it. It's free. That's all I do with it is send out the newsletter.
They
go
it?
To howtosaveyourfamily.com and put in your email address, and then you'll get it every week. And it contains things to watch out for, and it always has a section on how to fight back, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you came here to serve on our board because we have our annual meeting tomorrow. Thank you for doing that. Give our regards to your husband.
Thank you. I will.
And we will look forward to having you back.
Well, thanks. It's an honor to be part of this great effort to strengthen families and point the way to Christ.
You've been listening to the conclusion of a classic program here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about the Ministry of Family Talk or to listen to other classic programs, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hey, this is Dr. Meg Meeker calling all you pinners out there. Did you know that Family Talk has a Pinterest page? Well, it's true, and it's full of great resources, parenting tips, marriage advice, and good ideas for holiday crafts, recipes, and things to keep your family busy. Follow our boards and be inspired. We are pinning and repinning new things every day from Pinterest users such as yourself. Connect with us at Pinterest.com/Dr. James Dobson. That's Pinterest.com/Dr. James Dobson.